Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network's Ewoks.
Ewoks, the Ewoks, magic Ewoks, living in the tall trees, living in the skyglow.
As we anxiously await the final Clone Wars series bonus episodes, we will be looking back this summer as we watch and review all episodes of this classic Star Wars TV series.
Hello and welcome back to Summer School with Republic Forces Radio Network. I'm Jonathan, and tonight we're going to be discussing more of the Ewoks animated series. Tonight we're discussing Season 2, Episode 3, Home is Where the Shrieks Are, 4, Princess Latara, and 5, The Raish. Joining me, as they have been through this entire experience, are Barrett.
Hey everybody, it's Barrett, Master Collect Them All from the Forums, your Swan Holocron Enhancer. It's good to be back, talking Ewoks Season 2.
Jerry.
Hey guys, Jerry here, happy to be back.
And Nathan.
Hey everybody, I feel kind of like I should be pulling off a mask and telling you my name is Larry.
Why don't we dive right in? We are continuing with Season 2, which we discussed last time was kind of a tonal shift from Season 1. And the first episode, Home is Where the Shrieks Are, was originally released September 20th, 1986. And Nathan, where can people find this?
As with the rest of Season 2, including all the ones this time and throughout the rest of our summer school programming, these can't at this point be found anywhere legally in the U.S. There was at one point a PAL series set that was out there for people overseas, but in the U.S., nothing from Season 2 has been released on home video at all. Which, of course, means that in order to know what the heck we're talking about, we need a summary, Jonathan.
And I just happen to have one. Sick of chores, Wicket and Tebow decide to run away from their homes in Brighttree Village to live on their own. Unfortunately, they quickly realize that this is actually harder than living at home and doing their chores. After briefly discussing their new home with Nissa and Latara, the girls decide to leave the boys be. That night, Tiba goes out to look for food, only to return with 3 Kegels, other woodland creatures. The Kegels freak out when they realize that Tiba and Wicket have never heard of the Shrieks, and thus, never got the Shrieks' permission to live in the area. Later that night, they are haunted by the Shrieks, but when they trace the sounds to their source, they find that the Shrieks are actually just one little Shriek named Larry. Larry had run away from his home like they had when he was younger, and when he went back to rejoin his people, they had all left. Seeking not to have this happen to them, Tebow and Wicket decide to return to their village just in time for the Harvest Festival. So a rather straightforward episode, and I feel the moral of a story coming on. What did you guys think of this?
Man, story of my life.
Really had much interactions with Shrieks, have you?
Well, you know, leaving home at a young age, living in a tree. It's like the Keebler story.
Definitely a very heavy-handed way of getting across the message that they had for this time around. I mean, the idea that life is tough no matter where you are going to have to do things for yourself if you're on your own, as opposed to the chores you do at home that essentially you can't get away from the work, and that running away from home, even though it's not exactly what was done here, essentially trying to leave the nest is not necessarily a good thing until the time is right, kind of beating us over the head with that. But I like the fact that we get this weird play on sort of the ghost in the forest thing. Because we get this sense that the Shrieks are supposed to be this thing to be extremely afraid of. Only for the Shrieks to wind up basically being this one Shriek, this goofy little dude. I mean, he looks goofy enough as it is without the little head tail thing on top of his head that's got an extra eyeball on it. And, oh, it's just the one guy. He's just sitting in a cave tree or whatever, and he's got these little holes that he can woo into, and that winds up manipulating his voice enough to sound like it's a whole bunch of different Shrieks. It's weird, but at the same time, it's kind of throwing a curveball at us that I don't think most people, when they heard about the Shrieks, would have expected, especially with so many other non-friendly creatures, it seems like, that we've run into on Endor so far.
He was kind of an odd creature, Larry. I did like that he had the 3 eye, because when you see the eyes in the tree hollow when Wicket and Tebow find the treehouse, you think that there's more than one of it. It really does what it can to throw you a loop. Barrett, what did you think of this episode?
I thought this episode was all right. All right. You'll never see it coming. This is the Iron Man 3 plot. Right?
I thought the same thing with that
voice. This is Trevor.
I'm right there with you guys. When I heard that voice, I completely had an Iron Man 3 flashback.
What was the actual phrase? you'll never tell. What was it? They use almost the same words.
You know, I'd have to go back and listen, but there was something. It just screamed so much. I'm like, wow, did Iron Man 3 really rip this off? Shane Black watching old Ewoks episodes for inspiration?
Have we seen Wicket's mother before?
Shodu? Yes, yes, we have seen her before, but she definitely seems to be a force to be reckoned with, isn't she?
She seems to be a little more soulful now, and yes, I like it, the fact when Wicket's getting all uppity about it, you know, I can take care of myself. She doesn't even try to stop him. She's like, better take your scarf. Just lets him walk out the door. I'm like, oh.
And goes, well, I wonder if he'll last longer out in the forest than his brothers did.
Right.
Yeah, it's really kind of a cool new twist, I guess. I mean, if we're going to get into the different character changes, most of them were relatively negative. And while granted, with Shodu, I don't like the voice acting in it. Not because of the voice actors per se, Esther Scott, so much as it always sounds like her voice is different than all the other voices in the show, in the way that it was mixed and where it was recorded. It always stands out as not really feeling like it's in the show. It's like somebody did a voiceover afterwards, when granted it's all supposed to be voice work, but it seems like that's the one that just doesn't fit in with the rest of them. But of all the characters, she came out tougher. She came out kind of a stronger character in a lot of ways, whereas most of the characters had their soul kind of ripped right out of them. She kind of got some as we went along, because we didn't really see her all that much back in season one.
And we're going to talk about her personality a little bit later in this episode when we get to the Raish. But again, we have the core four, shall we call them. Wicket, Tebow, Latara, and Nissa. And again, their character development kind of continues on from what we saw last time. The changes. Wicket seems to be the little upstart. Tebow, the sort of dim-witted goofball. Latara, kind of the obnoxious, you know, Housewives of Endor girl. And Nissa, the sort of the peacemaker of the bunch. What did you guys think of their continued representation here?
You know, I got a Alvin the Chipmunks off this show in the sense that Wicket has kind of turned into Alvin a little bit with the too big for my britches sort of thing. I'll show them. Get out of my way. Let me do it. And et cetera, et cetera. And Latara is very much like Brittany on the other side, where she's so uppity and so too good for everybody and kind of snotty a little bit. But at the end of the day, you kind of like keeping her around sort of thing. And I don't know. It was clear that they're really taking some cues from some other shows in this era. Whereas, you know, you got somebody like Tebow, who's just follower of a follower. So, I mean, it's funny how the cast suddenly feels familiar to me, and they don't really have any personalities of their own. They're just borrowing from other shows that worked at that time frame.
Jerry, I don't know what disturbs me more. The season two of the Ewoks, or the fact that you're as familiar with the Chipmunks and the Chipettes as you apparently are. Barrett, what do you think?
All right, well, I have to agree that Wicket is being the lead of this cartoon now. Kind of what I asked for in season one, how I kind of wish that Wicket was the one that was doing all of Tebow's activities. And be careful what you wish for, because this is not what I wanted. I mean, he is nothing. There's nothing heroic about making fun and treating your friends and your family bad, you know, and taking advantage of them and just trying to get over. And it seems, to your point, Jerry, that all of the Ewoks now have these personalities that are very familiar to that era, but they're very selfish. It seems like every one of them have some selfish reasons why they want to get through life and get through the way that they're through these episodes.
Reminds me of The Last of Us. It's a game that's coming out later this month. I guess it'll already be out by the time you guys hear this episode. But they're leading up to the game. Dark Horse Comics, the same publisher of the Star Wars comics, is leading up to it with a comic series in which this girl, Ellie, the little girl in the game that you're supposed to be connected to so much, that they really play up the emotional aspect of in the trailers, in the comics, she uses the F-bomb as if it's a punctuation mark. Every other sentence, she's swearing up a storm. And it takes away, I think, the crassness of the character to a degree, takes away from any of that connection we're supposed to be getting with this character as a child. That's sort of the same thing with Wicket. Not only is Wicket acting selfish, as these other characters are, he's kind of leading them in the selfishness a lot of the time. The only person who ups him in that is Latara at this point. And you can sort of tell, because this is where, all of a sudden, Wicket is saying Kark or Kvark all the time. It's the Star Wars equivalent of swearing up a storm, and he's doing it constantly, it seems like, within this season. It feels like they've purposely made these characters more crass, from an Ewok perspective, than they were before.
So, Nathan, is that word a... Has it been established as a strong curse word since this show came on, or was that the intention when they created the word?
It hasn't been used a whole lot until fairly recently, but the way he uses it, I mean, he uses it in place of, you know, just about any swear word. These days, you can find things, for instance, referred to as carking, cark me, cark it, this is carked up, and so forth. You know, so it's not necessarily then. Then it was just meant to be a strong, you know, Ewok version of swearing at something. He certainly isn't saying it because he's happy. He's not saying doggone it.
Mother Carker.
I think it fits, though, with what Jerry was saying a while ago, which is that essentially the characters have been turned into teenagers. And that's when you see a lot of people start swearing up a storm. Certainly I see it all the time where I teach. The kids feel like it makes them feel grown up to swear somehow.
But, and I'm sure we'll talk about this over and over again, when you consider the timeline that we've already discussed and established, that they start out with the comic books and they go season one Ewoks, season two Ewoks, the telemovies, and then Return of the Jedi, it's like, I don't see how we get the characters in the Ewok telemovies from this. And we certainly don't see the same type of character in Return of the Jedi that we get here.
They could just mature extremely quickly. I mean, at this point, we've got Wicket. He's probably, 11, I guess, at this point. He's 12 in Return of the Jedi. But, I mean, I can remember a time when, and this is something that anybody who's been listening to my podcasts in the last decade or so can remember, I started out as sort of a very confrontational guy, and I am right, you are wrong, I am now going to destroy your point instead of just making mine and letting the audience decide. I was dropping F-bombs all over the place, and you get to a point where you realize, oh, that kind of stuff doesn't make me right, it doesn't make me mature, it actually kind of detracts from that, and you sort of mature beyond it and start taking things more seriously and more civilly, which kind of makes me wonder if maybe that's the point that we're, I mean, kind of expected to assume, I guess, that Wicket and the others hit in the very short time they've got between the end of season two, perhaps because of what happens near the end of season two, and the beginning of the telemovies. That, or the fact that they're speaking in an Ewok language here, Ewokese, in theory, and in the telemovies, Return of the Jedi, they're fighting to try to speak basic or whatever it is that the Tawani family speaks. Maybe they just don't know how to cuss and be sarcastic in a language that isn't Ewokese.
You know what's kind of funny for me, though? You know, Jonathan, to your point, even though Wicket's a little bit of a punk and a little bit of a arrogant, who I'm going to show everybody how great of a warrior I am, what I thought was interesting about this episode is that I believe that Wicket could have moved out and lived on his own. It was actually Tebow who brought down the whole equation. I mean, it seemed to me like that Wicket was relatively responsible. Hey, I'm going to do this. It's your job to provide dinner. It's like, wait a minute. What do you mean I don't have anything to eat? And it was kind of like that typical sitcom thing where two boys go off of college or say, hey, let's get our own apartment. And one of them is, you know, does pretty well. And it's the other one who throws his underwear all over the floor. And then they end up like, OK, I can't live like this, whatever, whatever. I kind of actually got some confidence from Wicket in his abilities.
The Ewok odd couple. Well, let's talk about Tebow for a minute. Again, we're getting more of these doofus, goofy, bungling idiot that is so not what we saw in season one, and so not what we get to in Return of the Jedi. I understand that this is a character type and it fills a need, but Tebow's the one character that I really, really liked in season one. And now, every time he opens his mouth, every time he does something, he takes me out of it.
It's a little disappointing with Tebow. I mean, I was just getting to like him. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Tebow is the Jedi apprentice. You know, he's the one that can use the Force, or whatever the Ewoks call it. I like to think of it as the Force. I like to think the Sun Star as some sort of Force-used rock that's encasing the Force. But it's kind of disappointing. He's not what we get, like you said, in Return of the Jedi. And does a spell come over him for it? You know, they never really kind of explain what happens to them or what happens to any of them. I mean, when Wicket's kind of a jerk, but in season one, he still was kind of a warrior. Latara was still, you know, she was still kind of the good-looking one. Princess Nisa is kind of the only one who hasn't changed. I think his change is the most dramatic from his personality in season one to season two. And it's shocking. You know, it's very shocking because you think he's going to snap out of it. He just never does. He just gets worse and worse and worse. And to your point, Jerry, I like the fact that they were able to build that Ewok hut in such a short amount of time. You know, give me the planks and all that. And that was pretty cool. So I see your point on how it wouldn't be that big of a leap for Wicket to make from now until Return of the Jedi. But for some of these other characters, yeah, it would be.
And speaking of other characters, the second episode we're going to discuss today is the one that was released on September 20th, 1986, Princess Latara. Now, as we heard, unless you have the PAL copies of this or an illegal bootleg, which I'm sure none of our listeners have, this would be one that you, again, wouldn't have been able to see. So we'll give you a summary. When she complains about her chores, seems to be an ongoing concept this week, Latara is allowed by her friend Princess Nisa to act as the Bright Tree Village princess for one day. Unfortunately, this is the same day that the Gorf Queen Slugga is having princesses from various species brought to her as potential brides for her son, the dim-witted Prince Vork. When none seem to fit her criteria, she decides to have an Ewok princess captured. When mocking from her friends and learning that Wicket is only putting up with her to earn a pearl of patience from Nisa for his belt of honor, Latara runs off into the forest and she is captured by the Gorfs and brought to Slugga. Her friends follow to rescue her, even though she tries to have the Gorfs take Nisa instead of her. While pursued, they use Latara's fake crown to bowl over the Gorfs, pushing them back long enough to escape. Wow.
I like this show, Jonathan.
You stole my joke, Jerry.
Oh,
I
sorry.
Like her, Ma.
Dude, that was so creepy and disturbing. I mean, I almost was taken back at that, because if our audience hasn't watched this, I mean, it was very much like a, you know, beyond your synopsis, Jonathan, it was very much, hey, what do you think about this one? I like this one, Ma. Nah, she's not good enough. Throw her in the pit. And they did.
Not only did they throw them in the pit, they threw them over the pit, at which point their forward momentum just stops in midair so they can fall into the pit. They threw them into the pit Looney Tunes style.
It was a gravity well. It wasn't a pit. It was a gravity well.
That's what it was. I don't know. The son and the mom, especially the son, really kind of were creepy in this. I think they were meant to just be bumbling and kind of stupid. Instead, it came off as if, you know, we have just introduced a new Star Wars villain. Meet Darth Child Molester. Really creepy, especially given the age of the Ewoks.
You know what was really creepy about it is that during this portion, there was no background music. It was just their words and the sound effects of them like flinging them. And there was no music, like lighthearted music in the background to make it even seem like it's kind of a joke. It was no music, which made it more creepy. And it was really creepy.
It was exceptionally creepy. And you're wondering what she wanted a princess for her son. I mean,
we know what she wanted a princess for her son. We knew exactly what that guy was going to do as soon as he got his hands on Princess Nisa. Come on. And I think they got their point across. One of the things about Latara is I like the fact that here, as soon as she becomes princess, you know, she really wants to become princess. That's all she wants. She's very jealous of Nisa. Nisa's very nice. Says, here, you can be princess for a day. What does she start doing? She starts abusing her power. I love it. No matter what you think about how they made these Ewoks and how their characters have developed, I think they're doing a good job to Latara, because you really hate Latara. Every time she opens her mouth, you're like, oh, this. She reminds you of every stuck-up, conceited, cheerleading person in high school that ever was like that, you know, and you really love to hate Latara, and I love it.
So we're meant to kind of think back the way that people think back about those people and say, well, she was such a sweet child. I don't know what happened, but she was so nice when she was younger. This is beyond just being a stuck-up, conceited person. At the end of this, when it looks like she is going to have to be wed to this guy, it's sort of a life sentence in a sense. It's not, oh, look, my friends are here to save me. Oh, yay, let's get out of here. It's, hey, look, it's Nisa. She's a real princess. Let me basically sacrifice my friend to save my own butt, please. And she even gives Nisa that look like, you know, I was going to do it. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you?
No, she
kind
says,
of that look she gives.
She says, when Nisa says, Latara, she says, it was either me or you.
Exactly.
It's the classic Han line, yeah.
I couldn't believe when that happened. It was just sort of like, really? And they're still going to talk to you afterwards? No, I mean, this is like bad Ewok reality TV here. Like wife swap or something gone horribly wrong.
Latara is the Amorosa of the Ewok village.
What's funny is that this actually fits in with one of the comics. The last comic when Star Comics was putting them out in the U.S. was a story called King for a Day. And in that case, Tebow got to be the king for a day. And it was one of these things where it's basically a random decision. It's like, okay, well, Chief Chirpa and some of the elders are going to be gone. So instead of just giving it to the person who is most fit to lead, we're just going to randomly pick. And then we've got Tebow there as king for a day when things go a bit awry with some invaders coming in. But it's another of these, really? The Ewoks are just going to take their mantle of power, whether it's princess or king, and just kind of hand it off for the heck of it. You know, I mean, you can tell that Nice is trying to teach Latara a lesson when she first does it. But still, you know, it's not exactly like, for instance, President Obama would not just say one day, let me be clear. It's a tough job being the president of the United States. And since you don't seem to think I'm doing a good enough job, Mr. Romney, you've got 24 hours. You're never going to see that in real life.
I keep finding myself thinking that we know that Brighttree Village is not the only Ewok community on Endor, but we never see the other Ewok communities. We now know why. They stay the hell away from this train wreck in the trees. The third episode we're going to discuss today is The Raish, originally released September 27, 1986. While preparing for the Shadow Knight Festival, Tebow tries out his Zomba costume on his friends, which works until Wicket attacks him to protect them and reveals Tebow in the costume. Now, when Wicket needs a costume of his own, he finds a magical cap and takes it from a nearby tree, only to have the tree transform into the Raish. They return to the village, learning that the Raish has once terrorized the forest, using its power to control animals to draw them to him so he can eat them. He was finally defeated by the Ewoks, who placed a magical cap on his head, transforming him into a tree. Seeking to stop the Raish and avoid getting into trouble, Wicket, Nissa, Latara, and Tebow seek out the two-headed Gongster, being the one who originally created the magic cap. They race against time, hoping to save Nissa's pet Baga, who has come under the Raish's spell and may soon be eaten. They get a cap and then sneak into the Raish's lair using Tebow's costume, where they're able to save Baga and after a bit manage to put the cap back onto the Raish, stopping its rampage. Shortly after, the Shadow Knight Festival takes place, and Latara, despite frequently shunning Tebow's invitations to the festival in hopes of being asked by another Ewok, finally dances with the love-struck Tebow. Tree monsters. Okay, we'll go with that. What did you guys think of this episode?
Man, I was so excited when this episode started. I'm like, the Raish. I'm like, what a cool name. And it starts out, they're being chased by a monster in the woods. And I'm like, yes, this is what we want to see. You know, they're back in danger. They're facing off against the enemy who wants to rip them apart. And it's Tebow. Wow. I was like, well, that's, you know, it's a kid's cartoon. And, you know, the one thing I did like about that situation was when Wicket finally turns to fight, they say, Wicket, you'll never be able to beat him, you know, beat the monster. And he goes, well, at least I'll go down fighting. And I'm like, that's right, man. I love it. That is that Ewok's fighting spirit. They will turn and face danger like a fireman. I like that.
Okay, so Latara's disturbing in this episode. What is this name that she keeps calling Tebow? Lurdo?
Lardo? Which means moron. Lurdo. Okay.
Lurdo.
I was like, is that some sort of like Endor Ewok slur, like, you know, nerf herder sort of thing, like he's a lowly peasant, like no good for him, but it's just moron. Okay, still insulting, but not like, I was just kind of wondering how offensive it was.
I remember that from the two Tele movies, that was an insult that was thrown around by Ewoks to each other, Ewoks to the humans. Yeah, this has been in my consciousness for a long time. Nathan, is that where it came from, those Tele movies?
Yeah, it's an Ewok created term, yeah, for the Ewok movies and cartoon series. We even get an episode named it later on in this season, right? A Warrior and a Lurdo.
It really sounds worse than it is, I think. I think probably a lot of parents, you know, I think probably a lot of parents got their eyebrows raised out there because it sounds like Tardo or something like that, you know, something very offensive. When I'm watching SpongeBob and stuff, it's kind of like the boss who's calling names. It's not really the friends who are calling other friends' name. I think they would kind of consider that bullying a little bit, you know, nowadays, to just call people and make fun of them all the time. But it does really sound a lot worse than it is.
Now, you're saying that these are friends. Are they friends, really? You know, as this season kind of goes on, I'm like, why do these four even hang out together? They never seem to have anything nice to say.
They're the only four 11-year-olds in the Endor Ewok village.
Exactly. Like, they're the class of whatever year.
It's almost like there's a bunch of kids they put together at camp and put them on a team and says, okay, you're going to have to train and, you know, be the best team. It's almost like they put these people together. And they really don't like each other. I don't think Wicket likes any of them. I think Nissa probably likes Latara because she wants a best friend. Tebow, I don't think he knows where he is half the time. And Latara, I mean, if you're not kissing her feet, she don't care nothing about you. If you're not stealing diamonds for her, you know, I think you're right. I think there's something to that.
It'd be great if they all wore a T-shirt that said class of 11 ABY.
What's funny is, you know, you've got them, and aside from the fact that they don't seem to like each other, then there's the bumbling stuff going on with Tebow. It apparently is that it's not just Tebow that has been made into the bumbling sorcerer's apprentice, because now Logray and all other sorcerers that we have within the Ewok tribe are made to look pretty much like bumblers because they're a way of stopping the Raich in the past. This creepy, crazy monster that can control the creatures. And granted, that is a really cool villain to have in a story set with woodland creatures. I mean, the fact that you could draw them to them. I mean, if the Ewoks are essentially there to protect the ecosystem, this is the exact opposite. So really cool type of villain to have. But how do you stop it? You stick a magic hat on its head and it turns into a tree and you just kind of leave it there. Don't worry about whether a breeze could come along and blow it off or an animal might come by and take it off or that somebody might just say, hey, look, a hat. No, we're just going to leave it there as a tree with a hat on it. We're not going to cover it up. We're not going to post any signs. We're not going to bury it. We're just going to leave the hat there and hope it stays on the branch. Really? That's some really great shamanism you got going on.
And they kind of say later that anybody who would release the Raich would be like banished from the tribe. Why? You didn't tell anybody. You just left it in the woods. I mean, heck, a squirrel could have knocked it over and the Raich would have come back. But I will say the Raich is an interesting, interesting monster / villain for the episode because, as you said, it uses this kind of like almost psychic power to draw in the animals. And then when it's in the cave, you see it take all the animals from the Ewok village. And then it's sitting in the cave and it's throwing bones out of the cave. So you know that it's actually eaten those cute, cuddly little animals that he got from the Ewok village. I think that was actually pretty harsh for a kid's cartoon in 1986.
Definitely remind you of the Hoth creature collecting animals and eating them and, you know, saving them for later. And he kidnaps or takes Baga. We like Baga, don't we? I mean, Baga, we really haven't talked too much about Baga in season two, but Baga looks a lot different than what Baga used to look like with the colors. And Baga is more like Cringer than Battle Cat in season two. This was the character that was causing havoc when we first meet him. And Tebow has to kind of do his Jedi mind trick to calm him down. And now, you know, the Baga I knew would chew through those ropes, wouldn't have been tied up at all.
I just think it was great when the Raich kind of takes him and his Pokemon is like, nope, nope, you need to eat. I want you to eat so that you're fattening you up so I can eat you. I mean, truly traditional Hansel and Gretel evil witch evil there.
You know, we get to see Willy in this episode, the return of Willy in season two. And Tebow is kind of taking the place of Willy, and Willy's so stupid, he don't even talk anymore.
He actually lost the power of speech. What do you guys think when they travel by tandem gliders and they meet
Gonster,
the two-headed Gonster? He's an interesting character. Remind you of anybody?
I don't care what planet you're from, that's gotta hurt.
They didn't have a cloud monster in the pod race, did they? This guy's got his own, these guys got their own cloud monster.
Ahusha, it's called. Which I think means they should have marketed that as, get your own Star Wars Ahusha and use it, like, in the shower.
One thing they said, the two-headed Gungsta? Gangsta? What is his name, Gungsta? They, when the Ewoks are talking to him and ask him where they got the cloud monster. They said they bought it from the Duloks. So a mention to our old buddy Duloks. I like that.
Well, that was one of the possibilities. They weren't sure because they were arguing. I mean, this guy had a dissociative disorder problem here. He had several personalities going on at once.
Reminds me less of Forward and Bede in episode one and more of Too Bad from Masters of the Universe.
One question I had, and maybe you guys can help me with this episode. What makes the Ewoks so different that they cannot be controlled by the Raish? Are they not animals just like the rest of these animals that are being controlled by the Raish? What makes them different when they're animals but not, you know, why can't they be controlled?
Maybe they're not as tasty. Maybe this only works on tasty animals.
Or if it's the Force, if this is a magical power that is actually based on the Force, it has only a strong influence on the weak-minded. So maybe in theory, the Ewoks are less weak-minded than the other woodland creatures. Though these days, I wouldn't necessarily put that past Tebow.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, then why weren't Tebow and Willie just chasing after the Raish who go, we'll come with. And I love how they finally defeat the Raish, too. I mean, they're running around his cave with a hat. And they get it on him the first time, but oops, they make a mistake, and they have to put this dust on the hat to make it work. And Latara doesn't want to use the dust because it's so important for her to get this dust for her costume because she wants these other Ewoks besides Tebow to ask her out. Man, this girl's priorities are just skewed.
Last episode, we learned that she would throw her friend under the bus. This episode, we learn that she will throw the whole Ewok village under that bus.
Yeah, they need to like burn her at the stake or something.
I told you what she is only rhymes with witch. She's not actually a witch.
I think we need an intervention. In any case, I want to thank you guys for discussing these three episodes with me. It was certainly enlightening. And when we come back, we're going to be covering the next three episodes of Season 2, The Totem Master, A Gift for Shodu, and Night of the Stranger. Yub yub, everyone.
Yub yub.
See you next carking time.
Later. Still think I should be called Larry.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Jerry, Jonathan, Nathan, and Barrett. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
How do you know so much about the Chipettes?
Dude, I was a big fan of the Chipmunks cartoon on NBC Saturday mornings for years. I have like every Chipmunks cassette and CD that was made in the 80s and 90s. I mean, dude, I'm a hardcore Chipmunks fan. Now the Chipettes, I wish would fall off the face of the earth. You know, when I learned that the Chipettes were going to be in that new movie, the Squeakquel or whatever it was called a few years ago, I was like, oh, come on. Don't do the Chipettes so quickly.
I thought they were represented pretty well, though, in a live action.
Wow, I can't believe I missed this conversation.
I'm just trying to figure out why would you name the little squirrel people who warned them about the shrieks the Kegels? Because obviously at that point, given how long ago it was invented, the exercises already existed. So are we saying that these little squirrel creatures have urinary incontinence problems? They have performance issues. Why name them the Kegels?
Baron, one of my prize collectibles that's non-toy related is I have an original Alvin the Chipmunks record from 1964 called The Chipmunks Sing the Beatles.
Oh, good Lord.
I've never even heard of that.
I got it like framed and it's in my, you know, my basement hanging. It's just, it's like one of my favorite things.
It's in a shadow box.
Pretty much. Yeah, you know, awesome. You know those like frames you can just buy at Michael's that have like,
yeah,
like
I know
you can
exactly.
Put the album cover at the bottom, but then even like and then hang the record itself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Awesome. I'm hardcore Chipmunks. I could do Chipmunks Action News. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm not going to. But I would like to, you know, talk Arnie into the now playing Chipmunks retrospective. We could start with Chipmunks, the movie from 1987.
Hey, good luck with that, sir.
The Chipmunks Adventure, as it was called.
Good luck with that.
And you'll never see me coming. Trevor. Trevor is pretty close to Larry.
I think the phrase was something like, you will never tell them about me.
Yes, 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 yes. I think it was something
but
like
it was
that.
Like exact. It was like, I rewound it. I was like, wait a minute.
You got to insert that in, Cherry.
I got to admit, I doze off sometimes when watching these shows. So I don't know if it actually happened or if I dreamt it.
It actually happened. No, he did say something like, you'll never tell them about me. I think that's what it was, because I was like, oh, hell no. And it had like the same rumble and everything. I'm like, Trevor, Ben Kingsley ripped this off. This is either the biggest coincidence or the biggest tip your hat off to Ewoks.
You know, they're probably thinking, I was like, hey, that's pretty good. Let's like use that. I mean, who watches Ewoks?
I know. Yeah, right. Right. But it'd still be fun to. You know,
you will never
to wonder
about me.
Trevor, I mean, Larry.
Go, ole, ole, ole.
Yeah, I've dozed off a couple times. I could not get through Night of the Stranger, man. I could not get through Night of the Stranger.
Yeah, I totally felt
three times watching that. Oh,
yeah. There have been some that it just kind of knocked me out. All right. Anybody else have anything else they want to say about Princess Latara before we move into the Rach?
I think we acknowledge that show as much as it deserved.
There
and
you
then
go.
Some.
All right.
Yeah. This is where we start to get the reviews saying they're all so negative. Watch the show. Watch the show.
I have to keep myself very, very centered because I'm about to read another synopsis, and we don't want what happened last week.
What happened last week? Oh, never mind. Let's go.
What happened last week? How do you forget that? All right.
Oh, yes. Okay.
My nervous breakdown. You remember?
See, I want to see the Robot Chicken Family Guy version of this, like with Nerf Herder, where like Tebow like punches her and says, hey, you can't call me that. Only we can call us that. You can take that out.
God, these just get worse and worse and worse.
We deserve a podcast Emmy, man. We are making these things seem so interesting. I swear.
I mean, the only thing people are going to want is something, oh, it couldn't have really been that bad.
And then they're going to be looking for him and catch him on YouTube one day and be like, oh, my God, they suck. Help me.
You keep saying there's nowhere legally to get these. I'm thinking why people are going to ask, well, where the fuck did these guys get them?
Exactly.
That's the joke.
We just remember them that well from our childhood. We can speak of them.
We look like, geez, we never said where we got them from. Yeah,
I mean,
we got
I'd rather read off Chipmunk stuff. I mean, don't get me started on Muppet Babies.